So I guess I'm just switching on the microphone. I wish we had a turning camera here because that would look really hilarious. That for such a small audience, we have such a big room. The hope is that at least some of those that are not permanently here can join us on streaming. This is why I have this microphone on. So the section meeting today is here because of the streaming, because I don't know, a few months back, I think Stephen, one of our PhDs, started, and while Stuart introduced him, he said something, yes, and we do have regular meetings also with the PhDs and the adjuncts, and then I was thinking, no, actually we don't. So we should introduce something like this. I think actually Niels did it before, but I never did it before. So I thought it would be good to have a Almöte, where not only our permanent staff, but also the PhDs and the adjunct professors can join and can receive an update on what has been happening. So this time it's a little bit larger, since there hasn't been a meeting for at least a year, since May I joined, I think. But I would like to establish this on a quarterly basis, so that every 3 months we have something like an Almöte, where we get just like a general update on what is bothering those that are permanently here and struggling with mergers and study programs, etc. So the agenda for today is talking a little bit about the anti-new merger from an ESLAB perspective. Then give you an update on the study, on the new study programs. Here I will hand over to Eric, who's here. And then we have an update on the communication material. So this is everything that has to do with like very operational, practical things that you might be interested in, like where do I get templates and business cards and all. And then there's any other business, and then there is the upcoming meetings until August 2016. So this is our new home. this is our new history. So I wasn't going to go through this in detail, since also I don't probably have much more to say about it than what is written on the slide, but I just thought it would be maybe interesting to know, to just know some key facts, that we are now dating back to 1200 something, and that the actual name of NTNU, or the actual institution of NTNU, was created in 96, and yes, so that we have been a official or on a university level, I guess, since 1968. Then I also, because, yeah, this I know this is fairly small and this is a lot of text, I also don't want to go through it in detail, but I took this out of one of the descriptions that Florissa nicely elaborated. And since I've been asked several times, like, how does NISLAB and CCIS now fit into NTNU and who are we now, I think this is probably one of the best summaries you can get at the moment. We're a leading science and technology university in Norway. We're the largest university in Norway with 39,000 students, by the way, around 6,000 employees. We have been founded as a NISLAB since 2002, and we host the CCIS, who's a partner-based center with 25 participating partner institutions. These are coming from a public and private sector. Also have three other academic partners. I'm not sure if you know, Politihøgskolen, for example, is one of them. NISLAB and CCIS count 39 staff members with 25 PhD students. 5 full professors and 11 associate professors. This is not true. 8 full professors and 11 associate professors. Then we, of course, we are hosting coins, and since we have joined NTNU, we are also presenting now more than half of the PhD students in coins. Well, currently it's organized as a center project within NESLAB. So it's like one unit at the moment. But we both are one unit today under under the section. Well, CCIS is the partner institution that is financing professorships within this lab, that helps us hiring new people. So last year we could, thanks to CCIS, hire Geolov, Socrates, and also Stefan Axelsson. And of course also, for example, Carl, who's sitting here, and there's a few more who are coming through in through CCIS, like for example Yuri, he's from Mnemonic, and yeah, of course, like there's also projects, joint projects that we won through CCIS, which is for example Ars Forensica with Katrin. So these partners are all within CCIS. But what you just said is also an update. I just quickly wanted to give you on the suggestions that we made now for a future organization. And here what you can see is there is an Institute for Information Security within the EMEA faculty. So there is a the... No, I don't know the abbreviation. It's information, electronics, and mathematics. That's what it's for. Information technology, mathematics, and engineering. Electronics, sorry. What's EMEA standing for? So that is one of the faculties now. Yes? Oh. Sure. No. Better just for the moment, okay. And so this faculty under, like in mid-February, there was a decision on the faculty structure. So it's not, it's now called Faculty C. And in this Faculty C, our suggestion is to have an Institute for Information Security, and also having a center. So that in the future there will be 2 units, to come back to your question, Roberto. Well, we should be the part. We should be the Information Security Institute. That's. So the aim is to become the Information Security Institute at NTNU, to have this situated here in Jövik. And there's 2 reasons for that. First of all, it's the history that we have in building up a large institute, like a section which is an institute-like organization. Also of that size, and which has been extremely successful in terms of publications and also research, who has was running study programs on bachelor, master, and PhD level. And yes, it's well, it will be identical. The second reason is that this should be obviously placed in Jüvik. So since all of our staff is here, there's no other possibility than having it here. It is locally also anchored. Good. This is preliminary information. I still wanted to share it with you because I think it's quite interesting. So IMT will make up to 20% of the new faculty's publication points, probably around that number. That gives you an idea of how we scale compared to the rest of the faculty C. There's a new method, and I'm going to share this after the section meeting also, how these publication points are calculated. So there will be a favor for publishing with partners, nationally and particularly internationally. According to that, we rise to 2.1 publication points per researcher, which means that over the last year we had a 40% raise at IMT, which is great. Then just some historic figures that I got last week from our library, where you can see how IMT is comparing to EMA. This is the old method evaluation, and you can see that we're just about the same level. So this is also one of the reasons why we're saying we want to be a full-scale institute within NCNU, and we deliver. Then a couple of pieces of information regarding research. I'm not sure if everybody's aware from you that we have a research database on Basecamp. So Floresa, who's been working within IMT and has been helping several of us with the application process for proposals, she set up this huge database. I think it's something like 85 megabyte of data, with lots of documents in it. So you can see here a little bit the structure, but if you need anything regarding forms or templates for letter of intents or on calls and deadlines, etc., I don't have a pointer right now, but you can get easy access to this, and it will probably facilitate your life a lot. I'm not writing this. Thank you. Yeah, so in every proposal, you have these things like gender issues that you need to explain, or templates for memorandum of understanding, or LOEs, letter of intents. So all these things you can find here. Also non-disclosure agreements between partners. So this is very useful information, and I just wanted everybody within the SLEP to be aware of it, so we're not doing the work twice. So moving over to our study program, so these are the numbers for 2015-2016, but already joined for the future study programs that we're going to launch now in August. So within our bachelor program, we have right now around 140 students. In our master program, in our regular full-time master program, full-time and part-time, but regular master program, we have 110 around. Then in the experience-based master, MISEP, we have at the moment 16. And PhDs, as mentioned before, we have 25. And then there was one more change, not only regarding the study programs, but also we sort of created the new function of the Super SPA. Since I know he's the Super SPL, Student Program Leader, which is a new wording under NTNU quality system. And this is Eric, and he will just show us what has changed within the last year and what we did in terms of changes in the study programs and what impact this will have in the next years.
Okay. Now it's not muted, right? No. So which mouse is connected to? No, here. Ah, there we are. Yeah, so the current for the bachelor programs, the Bachelor of Network and System Administration and the Bachelor of Information Security have merged to the new program, Bachelor in IT Operations and Information Security. So this program do not have students yet. It will have its first admission this fall. So we will have a period where we sort of have three bachelor programs. So in the fall, we will have the first year of the BitSec Bachelor, while we still have the second year of the two other programs. So they will keep being with us for two more years. And for several more years as well, as there are still students who spend some time completing their studies. Basically, because there were too few students in each of the programs, and the programs are very similar. And we see students basically ending up in the same job market. So, and also to align better with NTNU. It's been a tradition in Norway that the old universities, they've had very general programs, very few programs, while the smaller university colleges, such as us, we've had much more specific programs. And we have to do that to be visible, because students, they like to apply to a program they immediately recognize. So when a program is called Network and System Administration, they know what they're coming into. When it's just called Informatics, they don't know what they're heading to. So for the big the big universities in the big cities, this is not a problem. But for us to attract students to Little Gjøvik, we have to do all these tricks we can to get students to come here to have visible programs. So now we sort of we're merging these and that's always a bit risky to reduce. We're doing the same thing for the programming bachelors. So the game programming and the software engineering bachelors are merging into one program. So we're reducing from five IT programs to three. But I think the benefit of having the NTNU name will compensate for any loss of visibility at the program name level too. Now you can, we're back. Okay, so all courses 7.5 credits. We will try to have a better scheduling so that basically you will, your course will be have one time slot, like first part of every Friday, or if you want to teach every second week, then you will have every second Thursday, and that will be fixed for like 5 years. Meaning you get your time slot. We do not want to keep rescheduling every year, and we need to schedule long way ahead of the program starts, because we have part-time students. We already have several part-time students now starting to ask. They have to plan. They're working. They want to take the student the program part-time. They want to plan their fall semester. And then we can't start scheduling when in like August. So this is something that we will have to improve, and I'm working on this. And we will have a one-day meeting on May 11th. Bernard, I don't think I've... you got information? Okay. Yes, we can talk about it. Yes. So the important changes to the master's, the ordinary master's program, is that the program is now, we plan for either 2 year full time or 4 year part-time. We try to optimize our thinking that we either have 2 year full-time students or 4 year part-time. So we don't think that we have all this flexibility with some doing 3 year, some doing 4 year, 5 year. We have, will have students who do that as well, but that will be at their own risk. But we will try to schedule and set up a more professional program for 4 year part-time. The biggest changes is to the experience-based master's program, which has currently only have 15 students and has one track together with Politihøgskolen. And this track is a bit special because it requires all, basically it requires all students to have police background. So this program has been very narrow. Now we are generalizing this, and it will be very interesting to see how many and which student groups we get. Meaning we have had one forensics track together with Police Academy in Oslo. We will now have a forensics track not in cooperation with Politihøgskolen, meaning we have our own forensics track in the program for the market outside police, meaning all the big companies in private sector especially. And we have, that track will be quite similar to the track with Politihøgskolen. But we have a third track, which is cyber operations. This is, I should probably switch. Yes. And we have the third track, which is cyber operations, which we are very excited about. This is something that has been developed by CCIS and Geir Olav. We are currently marketing and trying to spread the word. We have one problem in that we used to have some flexibility in admission, that when we started a new program or a new track like now, we could ask the admissions office that can we extend the admission deadline to like 15th of May, since it's the first time, we need more time for marketing. We can't do that now. I think this is the only downside to the NTNU merger I've experienced so far, but we have to stick with the 15th of April deadline. So we have done some, we have had an ad in Computer World for all our programs, but especially for this track as well. So we will this will be very exciting to see after April 15th how many applicants we have in this program. But remember that the experience-based master program is a 90-credit program, so it's only 3-year part-time. So the ordinary master is 2-year full-time, 4-year part-time. The experience-based is only 3-year part-time. And of course, these courses, this will have some, will have several overlapping courses as well. I think maybe I've used my time.
Thank you very much. Perfect. I said that you're a super SBA, but didn't know, didn't say what the super SBA does. So Eric is now responsible for the Merge Bachelor program, and he is also responsible of the experience-based master, and he's also responsible for the general normal master program that he just presented. So he will be our person to contact when it comes to questions regarding the course descriptions. Of course, my job will still be do all the contractual part, and here also maybe some news for especially the adjuncts. So now that we have established and know what the new programs will look like, we'll also try to see that we make long-term contracts with everybody, so not something that needs to be renewed every on a yearly basis. So I think that's important. Then we also established in the last year a CCIS Education Advisory Board. What does this Education Advisory Board do? It makes recommendations for the continuous developments for the study programs. In particular, we are of course looking at getting some industry feedback on what our students should learn, what they should know when they go into the real world. Then it's important the implementation and the marketing of the new study programs. So there we hope that, of course, we will also get some support from them in marketing this within their companies, but also outside on conferences, etc. Then support implementation of innovative practices in higher education, best practice from industry, so to say. Provide guidance in the development of the curriculum. So we just revised all the programs, so we're not seeking of like redoing everything now in a half year again, but still it's good to have a continuous improvement process, right? So we hope to get this feedback from the advisory board. Then select body of knowledge sections to be reviewed each year and set priorities for the rolling practice analysis and give advice on the NISLAB enrollment growth strategy. So how can we grow in the future and get even more people educated in security? Who's in that board? We have representatives from the police, from Datatilsynet, the data protection office in Norway, PwC, Mnemonic, both consultancy auditing companies, Telenor is the biggest telecommunication provider in Norway, and Norsis as an end user organization. So quite well balanced, we think. So a first meeting took place in the beginning of February, and we will have this on a half-yearly basis. So the next year, next one will be in June, and then always towards the end of the semester. So we can sort of report on what has been, what have we been doing in this half a year, and then they can give us feedback on how we can move into the next semester. No, we felt so when we have been designing the programs. I'm sorry, I need to walk out because of the technical thing. I'm not sure if you presented, but we designed the bachelor and the master program along a best standards, international standards, to make sure that we cover all important topics in security and teach these to our students. So to ensure this completeness, we have been using a couple of international frameworks to that. But then we didn't only want to take theory to designing these study programs, we also wanted to get industry feedback. And here we can profit from CCIS as being a partner organization very close to industry and having them as an advisory board for the study programs. So giving our study programs industry validity, that was the purpose of doing it. So now to the practical topics. Strategic topics where we talk about positioning and becoming an institute within NTNU. And then there is these very, very basic topics, but essentially everybody asks themselves, like, how is this going to be done? So for example, I just want to create awareness for the fact that we have now new roll-ups with the NTNU logo. Then we have also a set of NISLAB slides. So in case you ever need to go out and you need to present something which is around security at NTNU, just some standard slides on, for example, what laboratories we have, how many students we have, what events we organize at NISLAB, etc. Like all these kind of things. There is a standard presentation on Basecamp, and you can just use it. It's open material that everybody can see and free for use. Then the website. So we are currently, we have now the NTNU logo on it. That was a quick win. we haven't really adopted to the style yet, but this is in progress. But we would like to keep the NISLAB domain for the time being, at least. I try my best to keep it updated, though I found out that a couple of our PhDs, for example, are not on the list there. So whoever sees this and goes under the people section and doesn't find himself or herself there, please let me know and we'll fix that. And also we try to update all the email addresses and the phone numbers and the correct office spaces, so maybe you can also check this. So people also find you there. Then one of the first questions was also the business cards. So if you need one, and this is quite a nice one because it has sort of the general NTNU affiliation on one side and the CCIS side, CCIS coordinates on the other side, so it's from both sides usable. You can just let me know also if you need it, and we can order it for you. We're doing this centrally now. You could also do it theoretically via the NTNU website, but since we have not been fully integrated in the organization yet, you will not be able, for example, to pick our current faculty, IMT, in Jövik. So this is why we sort of did a template, and if you want to use that, just let me know. And then another thing that we're going to do now is create something like a flyer, so something that can just be handed out when anybody is coming and visit or wants to know more. Then there's another thing. It's we're not only doing research in education at NTNU, but NTNU has been also looking at our IT department here in Jövik as a best practice for security. And I think it's in our own interest as NISLAB to act as such. So I'm currently looking upon feedback from a few of you if, for example, we can introduce general encryption and signature. and this sort of be done as NTNU. So with an NTNU certificate, and where we sort of our best practice, eat your own dog food and do this ourselves. This would also include maybe some smaller things. I mean, I've just put this up here now with an NTNU logo on it, sort of for privacy reasons, etc. But this is just to let you know that we're thinking about this awareness also, and that as an Institute for Security, you also have a responsibility, of course, to be a role model somewhere in the university. Then just some any other business information. So we will have a new IT support engineer coming in on the 2nd of May, and he's only for IMT, so he will only be doing things for us. So he will start, and one of the first things he will do is setting up our own server room where we can use our own infrastructure for the different projects. So this is great. Then for those that haven't been in Jøvik for a while, we have now a small library room next to the coffee room. You're very happy, you're very welcome to take books out, but also to put books back in or new books in. Then there's a couple of projects. There's been a feedback from a PhD side that we should have something like a blackboard where everybody can sort of exchange information on current research. So that will be the whiteboard that is now in the library. Yes? Exactly. So this should be the place where the written research centers around. Of course, we have our NIST seminars each Friday where you can do this orally and meet, but there's a place where you can physically actually store things. And another project is to have a webcam set up with the telematics department in Trondheim to exchange coffee chats virtually. So actually also in a virtual physical way being connected to Trondheim. So that's another project we have at the moment. And that's another project. yeah, that was just on the personal side, and Abika said it would be okay for me to share, so I wanted to do that. We had somebody who recently had a baby, some other projects, personal projects here that are nice. So I think another professor has two long-term projects coming up, which will also be babies. And there's also some development on that side. Then just for the upcoming meetings, so